Sarah. Wonderful song, really ties in with the message of this evening. I take your Bible, first of all, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For those of you for the first time here tonight, we're so glad you've come to the meeting. And I hope and trust that what you hear tonight will be a tremendous help to your life. And Christians, I hope it'll edify and help you as well, okay? We're talking about the new things that Jesus Christ would love to give you. Now, you know, we all like new things, don't we? Now, I'm a runner. I run marathons, okay? And so I love to get new running shoes. I also love to hunt. I like new rifles and pistols. And I just got one. And I love fishing. And I love a lot of sports. I really do. I'm an outdoorsman. And so, men, we like to get new things, don't we? Ladies, look at me. You like new things. Oh, you girls. You like shoes. If there's ever a weakness among ladies, it's shoes. My daughter Jennifer, all these shoes, you know, or new hairstyle, you know, or new clothing. And nothing wrong with that, girls. No, nothing worth at all about that stuff. However, we're going to talk about the new things that God will love to give you. And that's more important. You hear me? The new things that God wants to give you. No man can do this. Only God can give you these things. Our text is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. When you all find it, would you all stand with me as I read this passage to you? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our dear Father, tonight we thank you for those who are here. We thank you for the wonderful musical program we've had the entire week. And now, Father, may our hearts be open to the word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our text begins by stating, therefore, if any man be in Christ. You know something? Before any one of you could ever receive the things that God wants to give you, the Bible says you have to be in Christ. Nowhere does the Bible say you've got to be in a baptism or a catechism or a confirmation or good works, but the Bible does say you've got to be in Jesus Christ. And may I be so bold to say tonight that you are either in Christ, or else you are out of Christ. There's no neutral ground in this area. And when a person is in Christ, I want to show you what the Lord would love to give you. First of all, the Word of God says He'd love to give you new life. Look back at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now that phrase, new creature, right there, deals in the area of new life. This is salvation. This is salvation. This is what God wants to give you. He wants to give you life. Now you've got physical life, but you'll never have new life until you come to Jesus Christ. You know something? When I was a young man in West Virginia, I did not know Christ as my Savior until I was 17 years of age. And when I heard the word of God preached that Christ died for my sins, I didn't know that. And that He could give me forgiveness of my sins. And He could give me a purpose in life. And then on top of that, give me joy. And give me contentment. And then a home in heaven. You know something? My heart was open to the word of God. You know something this evening? God tells you that new life, salvation, is through Christ. No one can give this to you. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells you in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And so there's no way God can give you this new life except through Christ. Now, many people are sincere. They are really sincere. And they're earnest people. And they go through all the ritualisms of religion. When I was in India, and this is heartbreaking, the Hindu religion, they worship over 3 million different gods. You know what? They have the Brahm religion, which is a branch of the Hindu religion. And what they do, everywhere they walk, a man will sweep. What? I said, everywhere he walks, he will sweep. Why? Because he doesn't want to kill that insect or that bug on the ground. Why? Because that could be a relative. They believe in reincarnation. They believe loved ones could come back as a small animal. And the cow. There's over a billion cows running wild in India. I mean, it's heartbreaking. They will not eat the cow. Why? Because that could be a dear loved one. He said, I've never heard such thing. Well, I'm telling it to you. I was there. They're sincere people, but sincerely wrong. You cannot, my friend, work your way to heaven. You've got to realize that God has a gift he wants to give you. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the Word of God tells you in Romans 6:23. And so, he first of all will love to give you new life, salvation. Number two, look in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Now, underline that. Old things are passed away because, second of all, he'd love to give you new desires. Now, I'm going to say something to you right now. You may not understand it, but you will when I get through. Before you come to Jesus Christ, the things you now love, when Jesus saves you, you will then hate. And those things which you now hate, when God saves you, you will then love. Let me illustrate this to you. Several years ago, I was hunting in Alaska. I was also preaching in Alaska. And so anyhow, while I'm up there, I killed a big moose. And so we went to the tannery, and the man who owned the tannery is a wonderful, godly Christian man. And he gave me his testimony. Before he was saved, there was a man of God who witnessed to him, talking about Jesus Christ. And he would witness to him and come to him often and talk about the Lord and the Bible. And so one day, Al was his name, Al had this friend of his come to him and start talking about the Lord, and all of a sudden, Al said this. He said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of you talking about this Lord. He said, just shut up. You hear me? Just shut up. I don't want to hear about Christ anymore. Is that clear? And this man said, okay, Al, I'll be quiet. But you can't stop me praying for you. I'm going to pray for you till God saves you. Well, Al is a trapper. And by the way, I'm a trapper too. I trapped in West Virginia. I had a 2-mile trap line, okay, for muskrats as a teenager. That was big stuff. Until I met Al, who had a 200-mile trap line. 4 trap lines, 50 miles in 4 different directions. And Al, he told the man to shut up, talking about the Lord. One day, Al is on his snowmobile in Alaska in the dead of winter, checking his traps. As he checks a trap, the ice breaks. He goes completely under the water. And now, he said, Jerry, when I was going under the water, I prayed this prayer. I said, dear God, if you spare my life, I'll go to church Sunday and find out how I can get saved. And miraculously, he got out of that cold water, going on a snowmobile 80 miles an hour to a small building to take all this clothes off. So he wouldn't freeze to death. He made it. That Sunday, he goes to church, heard the word of God preached, and now received Christ as his Savior. And when he did, he went home. He walked in his house. By the way, his wife was a bar lady. And she's only about this tall. A cute little thing. And so Al walks in the house, and he says to her, he says, hey, honey, I want to tell you something. And she said, what is that? He said, I got saved this morning. And she said, "Don't talk about that religious stuff to me. I don't want to hear it." But you know what? She saw a great change in Al's life. And she went to church. And she got saved. And they came every night to our revival meetings. You know what happened to Al? His life was changed. Who changed him? Christ changed him. Who changed his wife? Christ changed his wife. There's a man named Mel Trotter. This is heartbreaking. Mel Trotter was a drunk. He was such a terrible drinker that Mel Trotter took the shoes. He went down. His baby died. Little baby died. He went to the casket when no one's looking. He took the shoes off of the baby's feet. His little baby that died. He took the little shoes off the baby's feet. Mel Trotter did. He went to a store. He sold the shoes and then went and bought a bottle of whiskey. But guess what? One night, Mel Trotter went to a rescue mission. I mean, he went to a service, and he heard the Word of God preached, and Mel Trotter received Christ as his Savior. And guess what Mel Trotter did? He's the one who started the rescue missions across America. One man. What a change wrought in that man's life. You know what? You're no different, teenager. What you are now, when Christ saves you, he'll change you. He changed my life. He'll change you as a teenager. He'll change you as an adult. I'm telling you something, my friend, there is new life, salvation. There's now a new desire. That will be a separation. Your life will be changed. But third of all, look back in verse 17, the Word of God says, there's now a new surrender. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. You know why? Because of a surrender. Now look here, please. I would never embarrass any of you. Don't get in a panic mode, okay? I will not do this. This is just for... But if I would walk up to you tonight, and as I told you, this is my preaching finger right here, okay? And so let's say I took this preaching finger right here, young lady. I won't do it to you. Please don't panic. Young lady, young man, look at me. And I pointed you out. I said, stand up right now. Come up here. Take my Bible. Show this entire congregation how God forgives sins. An adult, if I do the same to you, point you out. Come up here, man. Hey, lady, come up here right now. Take my Bible. Show this congregation how God forgives sins. What would you do? You know what I'd have done if I was 17 years of age? I just said, sir, here's your Bible back. I don't know how God forgives sins. You know, many people have no idea how God forgives sins. Now, I'm going to teach you from the Bible how the only way God forgives sins, okay? In the Old Testament, God commanded the men of God to take an animal, and they had to slay the animal and take the blood from that animal and go to the altar of God. And when they did, here's what God required they do with that blood. Leviticus 1:5, Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood upon the altar. Numbers 18:17, their blood shall be sprinkled upon the altar of the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 12:27, the blood of thy sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord thy God. 2 Chronicles 30:16, the priest sprinkled the blood. And so, look at me, 4,000 years, animals were slain, blood taken from the animal, put on the altar for one reason, to cover man's sins. Today, we don't kill an animal. We don't put blood on the altar. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood on the cross for your sins. John 19:34 says, but one of the soldier with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood. It's never dawned upon you, has it? that 2,000 years ago, when Christ shed his blood, he shed his blood for you as well as anyone else on the face of the earth. You know what the Bible says about the blood of Christ? Romans 5:9. The word of God says, therefore be justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. You'll never face the wrath of God because of the shed blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And so is the blood of Christ. The only way God can forgive sin is by the blood of Christ. And tonight, you've got to surrender to that great truth. And one day as a young man, I'm not embarrassed to tell you, when I heard that Christ shed his blood on the cross for my sins, I got on my knee and I bowed down and I prayed and I asked Christ to save me. Why? I surrendered to him. You know what he did? He saved me. And all things became new. I mean, all things became new. That's the kind of Savior he is. And if you would surrender tonight, he would do the same for your life. He really would. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Our dear Father, tonight, we don't know who's here, as you know the heart of every individual. But Father, I would pray that someone who is here like Christ would see the urgency of coming to Christ while they get this opportunity. Help them realize, Lord, how greatly you love them. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of God would just do his mighty work in our midst as we give this invitation. I pray this in Jesus' name.